Samut, written by Christine Helliwell and read by Dorji Swallow and Christine Helliwell.
25th of March, 1945. It was late in the rainy season, close to harvesting time, when Kaling Langit first heard the sound. A deep, reverberating roar, coming from above the clouds that so often blanketed her valley high on Borneo's remote Kelabit Plateau. It seemed to circle the valley, louder, softer, then louder again. The young Kelabit woman was terrified. Could it be spirit beings? She grasped her younger sister's hand and ran for her home in the nearby longhouse. Early the next morning, the sound came again, thrumming far above, eerie in its back-and-forth resonance. But this time, as she looked skyward, Kaling Langit saw something emerge through the morning's low cloud. 70 years later, she described it to me as a white umbrella. The first was joined by more umbrellas drifting down towards the bright green paddy fields in which she stood. Kaling Langit was so frightened, she began to weep. Above the cloud, 24-year-old Jack Tredrier, a tailor in civilian life, was up from his seat in the gloomy belly of the aircraft that had transported his small party from the Philippines island of Mindoro. He was stretching, adjusting his parachute harness, doing a final mental check of his weaponry. Mostly, he was trying not to think of what might be waiting on the ground below. Japanese soldiers, and a slow, agonizing death under torture. Headhunting Dyaks, looking to decapitate him. His tongue found the latex covering of the cyanide capsule secreted in his cheek. Now he and his three companions were moving to the bomb bay, out of which they would jump, Jack second in line behind the party leader. One of the Liberator crew joked to ease the tension.
Lovely day for a jungle picnic, boys.
The man behind Jack tried for a cheeky retort, but his voice failed halfway through. As the bomb doors opened, Jack became aware of his heart's furious beating. He was sure he could hear it above the throb of the aircraft engine. Then his party leader was gone, and the empty slide yawned in front. He thought fleetingly of his wife back in Adelaide, and he jumped. Borneo, 1945. The Japanese had occupied the island from late 1941 and now lived in garrisons scattered mostly around its coastal edge. The island's vast heart, shadowed with mountains and dense tropical jungle, remained largely beyond their reach. Here, in the tops of giant trees, gibbons floated their haunting songs at grey dawn, and the macabre hornbill birds, seemingly more beak than body, hung in ponderous flight. Here, too, lived most of Borneo's indigenous Dayak peoples, carving clearings for their longhouses and rice fields, hunting game and gathering jungle products for a dizzying array of uses.